God bless you all. It's a joy and a privilege to be here with you. It really is. And I had been looking forward to being here for quite some time, and I had a number of things that I wanted to accomplish and that I really were desires of my heart. And, you know, the Lord gives us the desires of our hearts. And one was because I wasn't able to be up here for the funeral with our brother Eddie. He was my counselor when I was 11 years old, 12 years old. And my birthday is 1st of September, so sometimes being up here, my birthday just seemed to happen while I was at my camp. But the thing was that when we were together and in that first group, I was terrified of coming to camp to begin with because my brother was going to be here. And he and I didn't get along at all. But I found that there was such a peace up here, and Brother Eddie was such a blessing to me, and had such a gentle spirit about him, and it made me feel at ease. And so I was thankful for that. And so I wasn't able to be here for the funeral, but I wanted to see his family, and I didn't know if they were going to be here while I came up. And sure enough, they were here, and it just meant something for me to be able to talk to them and see them. And I thank God for that. And also, I had such a yearning to be at the Chinese retreat. I don't speak a word hardly of Chinese, but it was just, I knew I was going to receive a help. You know, when you're away from the fellowship and in a place so far away as South Texas, and you just, year after year after year after year, you begin to forget some of the hymns. You don't forget the tunes, but the words begin to slip you, your mind, and it just means so much to be able to come back and hear the hymns. It just does something for me. But we sang "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," and I recall one year in particular that every single day the Holy Ghost would bring that song to me. Great is thy faithfulness. And it lasted for about a whole year. Every single day, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And it just thrilled my heart while doing the dishes or driving down into Mexico. Great is thy faithfulness. And it has been marvelous to see the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. God promises he will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter where you are, that he will be with us to the end of the world. Amen. And so I have found his faithfulness to be true, that he will never leave us. And that means whether you're on a panga going down a crocodile-infested river, or if you're just visiting a church in way down in Mexico and there's scorpions all around, whatever the case may be, the Lord promises never to leave us. And or if it's just trying to evade the drug cartel, it's just God is faithful. I was sharing with somebody about the drug cartel, and I had found out that our ranch down in Mexico was going to be invaded by the drug cartel. And now what were we going to do? And they called me up. What do we do? We're going to have a meeting in 2 weeks. They had been tipped off. Somebody overheard people speaking. And since we have friends all over San Carlos, Tamaulipas, they let us know. And so what are we going to do? The ministers were going to meet in 2 weeks. I said, you can meet in 2 weeks, but I'm going there tomorrow. And we went down and got all our belongings out, my boys' things from when they were little children. And the idea of going to a place when you know that there's possible danger, but you know you're in the will of God, that makes a difference, because he said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. He's faithful to his word. He is faithful when you're alone. You feel like you have no one to talk to. He's faithful. He's there with you. He's there with us, and he will never leave us. And so I got to accomplish so far all of the things I desired to receive from the Lord while I've been here, and I'm enjoying it to the full. But just to be renewed in spirit and to be reminded of the words that are so precious to us in this fellowship about waiting on God and dwelling in the Spirit and abiding in Him. The Chinese conference, they emphasize on Colossians, the book of Colossians, and I've been reading it and reading it and reading it. And I love that phrase there when it says, when Christ, who is our life, that's in Colossians chapter 3, it says there about Christ being our life. I'm not going to take up much more time, but I just wanted to emphasize this here in Colossians chapter 3. Starting with verse 3, it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." But I was impacted by that word, when Christ, who is our life. I thank God that he's my life. I couldn't make it without him. Day after day, month after month and year after year, God has just been there, so real. And services in Mexico and in Texas are so different. The Mexican people reach out to God in a different way. But God comes to the services, and he meets them where their need is. And I just so thankful that God comes to us in those meetings, sometimes very unusual meetings, very powerful, seemingly powerful meetings, and other times quite dead. It seems like nothing is happening, but I just trust God. He put us there for a reason. He knows what he's wanting to do in hearts and in lives, and we're not the ones that change anybody. We can't save anybody. We can't fill anybody with the Holy Ghost, but we can believe God, and we can be a channel of blessing wherever we go. And so this matter of Christ being our life and being faithful to us mean a lot to me. It means an awful lot to me. I'll just share this one other experience regarding the drug cartel. We had a experience where a friend of mine, a lady that I admired, she reminded me so much of Sister Caroline Gardner, the way she would play the piano in such an anointing. They were from the Wesleyan Holiness type of churches. And got to know them and sang with them and had her playing the piano. It was such a blessing. But they have been ministering in Mexico for about 46 years. And then one day, the drug cartel made a roadblock. And they knew if they stopped, they could be killed and their pickup truck could be confiscated. Or some other things could happen to them, but they decided they were going to go right through that roadblock. And they went on through, and she ended up being shot in the back of her head. And right after that, I had to go down into Mexico. And a lot of thoughts were going through my mind. You know, Lord, is it your will that I go today? Is it your will that I go? And I felt the release in my spirit, go. But you still keep thinking. And when I went down to the bus station in Reynosa, and I was going to catch a bus down to toward the interior, I get a phone call. And it was another missionary. And we had a leader of our pastors. His name was Tony. And this missionary said, "Have you heard anything from Tony, Brother Bill?" I said, "No." "You hear anything about him?" I said, "No. Why? What's going on?" He said, "Well, I just got word in the internet that his son was kidnapped and that he went to try to rescue him and he was killed. And I'm going right down there." And I said, "Lord, have mercy. What do I do?" I said, "I already prayed and I knew I was to go, so I gotta go. If for no other reason, if this is true, and you can't believe everything you hear, but I said, if this is true, I've got to give him the best funeral we could give him because he's a servant of the Lord. And if it's not true, then I can praise God for the victory." Well, it turned out it was not true, but I didn't know it yet. And it was somebody with the same name. It did happen, but it happened to somebody else from another organization. And it just so happened to be our pastor had the same name. But here I was going down there, and the purpose was we were going to have a special Christmas service. And I knew that he would be there, most likely. And so I go to the service. I got in a little late from the bus, sat in the back of the church, but I was looking everywhere and I didn't see him. Now I'm beginning to worry again. Where's Brother Tony? Is it true, Lord? Help me. Oh, Father. And then I talked to some of the pastors after the meeting. They said they hadn't heard anything. And I said, "Well, good. Then no news is good news." But then we had to catch a ride to the ranch, and on the way to the ranch, they dropped off some people. I'm sitting on the back of a pickup truck riding towards the ranch at night, and we got to this village, dropped off the people there, and a person spotted me, and he said, "Brother William, did you hear what happened to Brother Tony?" And I said, "Oh, no, so then it is true." So I was going back and forth. My feelings and my heart, and it was just up and down, just didn't know what to believe. And that night, I began to think, you know, sometimes they try to lure people into Mexico. The cartel, they get a message that your loved one is sick or your loved one has been kidnapped. You got to come, or something happened to them. You got to come. And then it's all just a ruse to get you down to kidnap you. And the enemy tried to put that in my mind. Maybe it's to kidnap you. Maybe that's the reason you came down here, because you're going to be kidnapped. And all these thoughts going on my mind. I said, "Lord, you're my life. You're my peace." I prayed. I committed myself to the Lord that night. I'm in the ranch all by myself in the middle of nowhere. Only thing you could hear are coyotes in the background and crickets. And that's it. In the morning, I said, "I'm going to go to Tony's house. No matter what happens, I'm going to go." So I got up early in the morning, caught a bus, and went down into town. Now, mind you, the back of his house at one time was a place where 30 cartel vehicles were. And they would be in broad daylight, loading and unloading ammunition, bazookas, and all kinds of things. And so there was reason to be concerned. But that group had gone, and they had not been there for a while. But when I got there, I said, "I'm going in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're with me. You're my life." Walked up to the door, nobody in sight, no sign of anybody. And I knocked, and here comes Brother Tony. "Brother Bill, where were you? You know, I'm so glad you made it." And I'm like, "Oh." And I threw my arms around him. I said, "I never realized how much my coworkers meant to me. And I just so thankful for the presence of God, for his faithful keeping. We live day by day. We don't know what's going to happen one day from the other. I don't live down in Mexico anymore, but I travel in regularly. And we're just thankful for what God is doing. Pray for us down there in South Texas, in the church there in Alamo, Texas, that God will have his way and that the folks there will learn about the faithfulness of God and learn to make Christ their life, because without him, we are nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. We'll never amount to anything without the Lord. And I find that he is my life. And I thank him that I could be here. And I thank God for the opportunity. Brother Keith, thank you for inviting me also to say some words.
Amen. Thank you. Lift up our brother Bill, Lord, and we ask God that you will, well, we thank you for the abundant life you've given him, for you being his life, oh God, and we want to intercede and pray that you will bless him, strengthen him, guide him, Lord, meet his family. We pray, Lord, for all of the workers and the pastors that he shepherds, and They're reaching to Mexico and South Texas. God, we just pray for them and pray that you'll give them all that they need, supply all that they need in Christ Jesus. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to encourage, to guide them. Lord, we pray that souls will come to the kingdom through our brother and use him mightily. We ask, oh, strengthen his hands. Touch him physically. Lord, we pray that you will refresh him. His soul, we trust you to do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The choir has a song for us this morning.
Thank you, choir. That was... What a great hymn. That was a nice-sized choir. That was a good-sized choir. We don't have a choir in the chapel. But we like to sing in the chapel. Not well, but we like to sing. There's something about singing, right? It opens your soul, and God can do so much. Well, we're going to sing the camp song, and that's 385. Let's stand together and let's sing Holiness Unto the Lord. Son Jesus Christ, that you'll keep these grounds, holiness unto the Lord.
Yes.
We ask, O God, that from the watch rock to the cottage to the village to Nonantum to the ball field, that these grounds will be kept, holiness unto the Lord. We pray, God, that all who come on these grounds will sense that there is a great call on these grounds, and that is to holiness. We pray that we'll honor, respect. We pray that we'll have a carefulness, God. Oh, instill that in us in a greater way, we pray. We ask that for these grounds. But, Lord, we also ask that we, in a new way, Lord, your church, your people, the body of Christ, will hear that call afresh in these troubled times. That you'll call us. We'll be willing, oh God. We'll remember sacrifice. We'll remember commitment. We'll remember consecration. We'll hear that call to holiness. Help us to come out and into you in a greater way, we pray. And we ask it, Father, in his name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Shall we be seated and let's sing that fifth verse.
Called unto holiness, bride of the Lamb, waiting the bridegroom's returning again. Lift up your heads, for the day draweth near, when in his beauty the King shall appear. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along.
Thank the Lord. Amen. I thank the Lord for that call. It's a constant call, isn't it, to holiness. May God help us.